Dakota has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including the Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal, Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.
The NE File, the Ultimate Patriots Podcast with Nate Lundy.
Welcome into the podcast. My name is Nate Lundy. Thank you so much for taking the time to listen. A lot on tap for the podcast this week as we kick things off. We'll get to our big interview in just a moment. Talk about the big storylines as training camp and the preseason are underway and the start of the regular season is just a couple of weeks away. Plus, we'll do Around the League with the coach, Brian Billick from NFL Network, as we will every week, a chance to visit with the coach. And we'll close things out this week's podcast with Overtime, a six-pack of questions. This week's guest, Andrew Siciliano of the NFL Network and DirecTV's Red Zone channel. But it all gets started with the big interview next.
The big interview.
It is time for the big interview as we look at the New England Patriots. And from NBC Boston, we welcome in Raul Martinez. Raul, thanks for making some time for us. You find Raul on Twitter at Raul Sports. Let's start with the obvious question. What is your takeaway, as well as maybe how the fans are feeling about what everybody has seen so far out of Garoppolo?
Yeah, I mean, I think people are still confident in this team. Not because of Jimmy Garoppolo, but because of Bill Belichick and the way he can operate a quarterback. He knows how to work the system. He's got Josh McDaniels at offensive coordinator. They're going to mold this offense for the first 4 weeks around him. And I can only explain it like the way it was last year in Denver with Brock Osweiler stepping in. They're asking Jimmy Garoppolo to not make mistakes. They're asking him to just get them some points. They don't have to have a massive amount of points. Just don't make mistakes. Don't make any crucial turnovers on your side of the field. And watching the first two preseason games, he struggled at the beginning, slow start, but as you see him pick up, the confidence grows. You start to see a pretty good quarterback. Is he Tom Brady? Not even close. But he is capable of being a starter weeks 1 through 4, and really it's about that defense that can carry them for the first 4 weeks. And they're just asking Jimmy, don't make mistakes, make some good throws like you have in the preseason, and they should be fine. I don't anticipate a 1-3 start under Garoppolo, but it's not going to be mostly on him. That defense will carry them for the first 4 weeks.
Raul, do you think success is if it's just, I mean, even if they're just 500, if they're 2-2 after the four games, or are expectations higher than that?
I think that fans here, and I know Bill Belichick won't be happy with 2-2, but I think fans here will be okay with 2-2 okay. Because they know that Tom Brady's returning.
Right.
They know that their offense is completely capable to run away with the division and possibly the 1 or 2 seed once Brady returns. But, you know, I think 500 is completely reasonable, but I would not be surprised if they went 3-1. And I'm not even taking out the Arizona game, because any week one game, it's so different. It's so unique. You know, it's brand new. You're still learning. You're starting the season. So that's a game they could steal. But they have 3 home games, and they're perfectly winnable games. Bills, Texans, Dolphins. I mean, those are games they can win. So yeah, 2-2. I think everyone can live with here in New England.
Raul Martinez with me as we look at the Patriots here on the podcast. Raul, let me ask you this. As you look at the preseason, I know everybody wants to get out, shake some rust loose, et cetera, but is there really any reason for the Patriots to put Tom Brady out there? I mean, we've talked about it a little bit nationally, that maybe the best thing for him is to just sit out, rest, and let them get as much time for Garoppolo as possible.
There's no question that they should just sit Tom Brady. Bill Belichick has made it clear that the priority is getting Garoppolo ready. And the first two games, obviously kind of strange that Brady missed it. The first one you can understand, he had to attend a family memorial. The second one, where he cut his thumb, he was going to play that game. That was probably the only week he was going to play. I mean, if he does play against Carolina, it will probably be one series, and Brady does want to play. But you have to see this as a good opportunity for Garoppolo to really get some work in. You're talking about playing on the road in a week three preseason game where starters play most of the game. They'll play a majority of the game. This is the most important preseason game. You're playing on the road against a very good defense, against the defending NFC champs. So this is an opportunity for Garoppolo to start realizing that he can play with the big boys. And Brady, he's 39 years old. You know, he's not going to play until week five. This is not going to make or break his season. He's been here before. Will there be a little rust come week five for Brady? Sure. But is him playing and risking injury week three in the preseason good? No, I don't think it's necessary. So I would be surprised if Brady plays in this game. But if he does, it's because he wants to be in there and he's going to really fight to play. But I personally don't think he should. Because you risk so many things, and you also give the opportunity to Garoppolo.
Raul, the other news and notes story that's come out here in the preseason, the move with Brian Stork. What do you make of that?
Yeah, it was very surprising yesterday to hear Stork was first going to be released, and then Washington caught wind of the release and offered a conditional seventh-round pick for the Patriots. So I think the Patriots, especially Tom Brady, was not too happy with Brian Stork. That's what it sounds like. A week ago against the Bears, he tried to fight three guys and got ejected from the game. They seem to be much happier with Andrews. It's an opportunity to move on without him. It was a surprise. There's no question. Especially when you give up offensive linemen to start the season. Those come at a premium on every single NFL team. So clearly there were issues internally between Brady. Not necessarily Garoppolo. I think he's too young to deal with that right now or to even worry about that. But it sounds like maybe Brady, McDaniels, and Belichick had issues with him and wanted to separate and part ways. And it seems like they're going to be perfectly fine at that position. They're happy with Andrews, no question about it.
Raul, what's your take on where things sit with the running back position? Obviously, Deion Lewis dealing with injury. How do you see things shaking out, at least for the beginning part of the season? Who are we watching for? And most importantly, how's the workload going to be split up?
Yeah, that is probably one of their weakest positions, offensive line and running back. To lose Deion Lewis for 8 to 10 weeks, possibly, you know, and it's tough to come back from in the middle of the season. It would be great if the Patriots could get him back midseason, but that's not a guarantee. It's a weak position. They are light, but fortunately for the Patriots, they are a spread offense. They're going to throw a lot more than run. But for the first 4 weeks, they'll probably run more than throw with Garoppolo in there. So I take a look at James White. He's going to be the perfect filler for Deion Lewis. He's not the best running back, but he's more of a passing receiving running back. Does a great job. Had 40 catches last season. So James White is the guy to keep an eye on as the fill-in replacement. LeGarrette Blount is your workhorse. He's your bruiser. He gets the 1 or 2 yards you need on the goal line. He'll probably be the starter, the week one starter. Look out for Tyler Gaffney.
Yep.
That guy has suffered injuries for the last 2 years. He's finally healthy. He's coming in, and he's playing well in preseason and in training camp. So he could step in as the number three or number four. But, yeah, I think running back is a concern. There's not many running backs out there to grab. So I think, you know, another injury would be very, very painful for this Patriots offense. But I don't think they're too worried about it, especially when Brady comes back. It's a spread offense. They'll use White very heavily in that offense. He'll be a big mixture in that offense. But I think for the first 4 weeks it can be a concern. But, you know, overall, the grand scheme of things, not too terrified right now.
At the tight end position, obviously the addition of Martellus Bennett, how do you see that he has fit in so far? Obviously the Pats are a team that have used in the past and have continued to use two tight end sets. This is certainly an upgrade for them on the opposite side of Gronkowski.
Huge upgrade. Tight end is probably their strongest position, actually. And a side note on Bennett, talk about a character.
Oh, yeah.
Off the field, just talking to him. He's the media's favorite person to talk to. says a lot of crazy things, speaks his mind, really fun to talk to, very educated, and quite interesting in the Patriot way kind of deal. You normally get guys who just say the right things. Bennett says what's on his mind, which is fun. But no, this tight end set, if you imagine Rob Gronkowski and Martellus Bennett in the offense at the same time, that's going to be pretty tough, not just in the passing game, but in the running game as well. They're two huge bodies. They fit in well. And if they stay healthy throughout the season, that offense is just going to be dangerous just because of those two guys. Add Julian Edelman in that mix, and that's going to be a tough, tough trio to guard. But you have a new tight end emerging, A.J. Derby, on this team, who's probably going to be the number three, had a huge game last week. So they are very deep at tight end, had a great catch in the two-minute drill right before the end of the half from Garoppolo. So clearly tight end's not going to be an issue. And even if you take out Derby and Bennett, Gronkowski alone is a huge force.
He's on NBC Boston. He's on Twitter at Raul Sports. Raul Martinez talking Patriots with us here on the podcast. Raul, appreciate the time. We'll talk to you again as we get throughout the regular season.
Hey, thanks for having me on. Appreciate it.
Stick around. The coach, Brian Billick, coming up next.
Around the league.
It is time for us to go around the league, and as we will do each week throughout the season, we're joined from the NFL Network. You find him on Twitter at Coach Billick. It is the coach, Brian Billick. And first of all, Coach, how's your offseason been?
It's been great. As usual, too short, but it's time for football, so we'll crank this thing up.
It always feels like it's too short. Let's talk about some of the stories from the offseason and even from training camp and beyond. A few interesting quarterback moves, so let's start here. First of all, what's your assessment of the Broncos quarterback situation and the decision Gary Kubiak's having to make?
Well, anytime you take a quarterback in the first round, obviously L.A. doing it with Jared Goff, and then Carson Wentz in Philadelphia, and then Paxton Lynch in Denver. At some point, you've got to know these guys are going to start. I mean, since the, Aaron Rodgers did it in 2005, and he's the poster child for those that say, okay, you shouldn't start a quarterback, let him sit in and learn behind somebody else. Well, with all due respect, he sat in behind Brett Favre. That's a Hall of Famer. And Carson Wentz and Jared Goff and Paxton Lynch, they're not sitting behind Hall of Fame. In my opinion, they ought to play. And it sounds like Paxton Lynch, particularly with a team like Denver, that's going to pack a great defense. They anticipate running the ball well. Why would you not start him?
And then when you go from Denver, let's stay in the West. Let's go to the NFC West. What about what Chip Kelly is dealing with in San Francisco with Gabbert, with Kaepernick? It feels like it's a very odd situation that he's trying to decide who his quarterback for 2016 is going to be.
Yeah, you know, what the old adage is, if you have two or three quarterbacks, you have no quarterback. I mean, it should be very clear-cut. And he may have already decided. I think there's still an upside for Colin Kaepernick. We'll see how he fits into the Chip Kelly system. You'd think it would be fabulous. Blaine Gabbert, I think we've seen, is a backup, a good, solid backup in this league. I don't know that you're going to be a championship-caliber club. Colin Kaepernick still has a little of that upside. But the hard thing will be that this roster is not a great roster right now. It's not a great defense. You know, you hope that Carlos Hyde can stay healthy and run the ball. The receiving core, they have some potential there, but I don't know they have the absolute go-to guy, and that includes their tight ends. Vance McDonald is kind of pedestrian. So I think the group that he's going to be working with, along with the defense that's clearly having to rebuild, I think there's going to be some challenges for Chip in San Francisco.
What about a positive quarterback story, at least from what we've seen in the preseason so far, and that's Robert Griffin III in Cleveland. A lot of folks feel like maybe we're starting to see the RG3 that we saw at the very beginning in Washington.
Well, you hope so, because obviously this guy has a lot of talent. If he can stay healthy, and that's a big if, that's something obviously everybody's going to watch to see, because they keep saying, we're going to let Robert Griffin be Robert Griffin. Well, when Robert Griffin was Robert Griffin, when he was RG3, he got hurt. And so I'm looking for a guy that can he beat you from the pocket? Yeah, can he do the things outside? He's got potentially, and I'm hesitant to use that word because the old adage is in coaching, son, your potential is going to get me fired. But if there's some potential, it looks like Terrell Pryor has some upside in terms of the receiver. If indeed Josh Gordon can come back and be solid for them, if they can get that running game cranked up, then that's going to complement RG3 and give them a chance, obviously, to piece this thing together. And I don't think anybody expects them to be a playoff team, but they can be a good, solid, competitive team.
The buzz down in Dallas is, of course, all about Dak Prescott, and we know it's a limited sample size of preseason, but what were your thoughts on Prescott going into the draft, and are they coming to fruition?
Yeah, I mean, when you look at the Dak Prescott, this is different than the first-round conversation, which is good, because for the Dallas Cowboys, obviously with Tony Romo, it's all about keeping Tony Romo healthy, but if you can get and reach down into the fourth round, like they did for Dak Prescott. This is a talented guy. A lot of people will equate his game a little bit in terms of Russell Wilson. Now, that you say that, people go, oh, boy, well, this guy needs to be your starter. I'm just saying that he's a later draft choice that's showing some potential. I did see an interesting comment from him in talking about how he feels like he's ready for whatever the NFL's going to throw at him, whether it's a vanilla defense or, as he said, a rocky road defense. I think I'm ready. Well, let's hold on that. I prefer to have a rookie quarterback know just enough to be afraid, because I love the bravado, but the difference that he'll see in the regular season versus the preseason, notwithstanding Tony Romo staying healthy, but obviously for Dallas, they've got the best of both worlds. If indeed he can be a serviceable backup, get a young quarterback that they can develop, you couldn't ask for more than your backup quarter in your backup quarter position.
The coach, Brian Billick, with us. You find him on Twitter, at Coach Billick, as we go around the league. Coach, let's talk about a couple of coaching changes. How do you think the young Adam Gase, and I always wind up feeling older when I see a head coach who's 30, but nonetheless, a young Adam Gase, how do you think he'll do in Miami?
Well, he's got it set up to do very well. I mean, he was brought in. He's the current quarterback whisperer. So he's going to come in, and Tannehill is going to be that next protege, that next quarterback. Indeed, can he transform this guy who's had a solid beginning in his career? That's how it's going to be judged, because the expectations in Miami are very high in terms of what they think they can do. Obviously, in that division, it's all about, can you supplant New England? I don't know if they're good enough to do that. So the next question is, are they good enough to be a wild card team? And that's a tall order in the AFC.
What about Doug Peterson in Philadelphia? What's your assessment of Peterson?
Well, he certainly brings the right pedigree in terms of having been a former player, being a part of successful teams with Andy Reid. He's certainly in a familiar situation. Let's go back and remember that Doug Peterson was brought in to be the quarterback for the Philadelphia Eagles in Andy Reid's first year in 1999 to basically hold down the spot until Donovan McNabb could eventually take it over, which he did middle to late season. Now, that was a 5-11 team. He now is sitting on a team where he's got a couple quarterbacks, more than a couple. Sam Bradford, obviously, they paid all that money to. They went out and moved up and used a lot of assets to go get Carson Wentz. But I was up at their training camp, early in training camp, and had a chance to visit with Coach Peterson. And he and Howie Roseman, the general manager, seemed wholly committed to Carson Wentz not playing this year. Now, I don't know that that's going to happen. As I said, since Aaron Rodgers took over or was drafted back in 2005, 29 quarterbacks have been taken in the first round, and only a handful have not played in the first year. Only four, to be exact: Aaron Rodgers, Jason Campbell, Grady Quinn, and Jake Locker. Now, that's not an impressive list outside of Rodgers. So those that want to make the camp, well, maybe you shouldn't play your quarterback in the first year, hasn't turned out real well. So we're going to find out if Doug Peterson wants to emulate what he did for the Philadelphia Eagles and just kind of be a placeholder until they can get Carson Wentz into the starting lineup.
As you look at the NFL over the course of the last year, certainly the last 8 or 9 months, Coach, we've seen, whether it's the Al Jazeera report, we've seen Deflategate, we've seen a number of things going on. Are we in jeopardy at all with the league of Roger Goodell, any of the decisions or anything that he's doing? Is it starting to hurt the image of the league when it comes to the fans?
Well, I don't think so, particularly when we're talking, it's kind of talking out of both sides of the mouth when the media wants to say, well, is Roger Goodell too tough? Is he too authoritarian, as the players and the union will say? But by the same token, the NFL can't suffer these black eyes. He's got to get it under control. And that's really what it's going to come down to. We just saw the recent situation in the Olympics with Ryan Lochte and how it's so often it's not the act itself, it's the cover-up or the lack of taking responsibility for it that is much, much more difficult, and that's what Roger Goodell and the league are trying to do, to make sure that these players understand there's going to be an accountability. There's a red line in the sand, and if you cross it, you're going to be held accountable for it.
The coach, Brian Billick, with us. Last one for you, Coach. Give me a team that is going to surprise us, and it could be a team that we think isn't going to be very good, who's going to be better than expected, or a team that has high expectations that's going to underachieve.
Wow. Well, let's go with the positive on that. And you know, when we talk about this and the work I do for the NFL Network, for at that time of year where everybody wants to talk about that same thing, about where, okay, who are the teams that are going to surprise us? And the criteria is, okay, let's begin with the teams that weren't in the playoffs last year.
Right.
Because obviously you got to see what the Carolina Panthers do. Washington Redskins, who I think are going to be pretty good. Can they get back in the playoffs? But a team that clearly needs to do well for their coach, but I think his position could be pretty good, is Jacksonville. Now, they need to be good because obviously Gus Bradley's only got 10 or 11 wins, 12 wins over the last 3 years. But you've got to love, at least in the preseason and certainly in the third year, Blake Bortles seems ready, along with, you know, that great receiving core with Allen Robinson and Allen Hurn. The tight end position is a solid one with Mercedes Lewis. Julius Thomas, who they brought in last year in free agency, could step up and have a big year for them. And obviously in the running game, getting Chris Ivory to go with E.J. Yeldon. They're going to have some offensive weapons. And, of course, Gus Bradley went out and drafted a bunch of defensive guys who they're going to play. They don't have to be great defense, but they got to be better. This could be a team in the AFC South that really could be wide open that makes their way into the playoffs.
And they're benefited, Coach, aren't they, by the division that they're in? Sometimes the geography around you benefits you, that there isn't like a Patriots or a Carolina Panthers type team that they're trying to climb over either.
Yeah, and I regrettably, we always will start the season off and, okay, what coaches are on the hot seat and well, that division's on the hot seat because every single one of those coaches, whether it be Chuck Pagano in Indianapolis, the expectations with a healthy Ryan Leaf, whether down on Mike Mularkey, all but a first year, you go, how can a first year coach be on the hot seat? Well, let's remember what happened in Jacksonville, where he went 1 year and got fired. The expectations that Marcus Mariota is going to be better, and obviously down in Houston, they went out and spent the big money on a quarterback that the Denver Broncos said they didn't want to spend the money on, and Brock Osweiler. Brock Osweiler's got to come through for Billy O'Brien, or it could be, you know, could be a problem for him. So I think that whole division of coaches is on a hot.
I say it every single year. You're a smarter football fan if you spend some time with the coach, Brian Billick. He's on Twitter, at Coach Billick. Coach, look forward to visiting with you again throughout the season. Thanks for the time.
Sounds great. It'll be fun.
Coming up next, it will be time for Overtime, a six-pack of questions, rapid-fire style, with the NFL Network's Andrew Siciliano. Overtime is next.
Overtime.
It is time for Overtime. That means we got a six-pack of questions, because what else do you do during overtime but make another trip to the bar and grab a six-pack so that you can enjoy it? This week, our guest in Overtime from the NFL Network is Andrew Siciliano. Andrew, how are you?
Nate, how are you?
I'm doing very well, my friend. You ready for a six-pack of questions here?
Are they alcohol-free?
Well, they are alcohol-free, just in case you've got to go in front of the camera here in a moment.
Good.
All right.
Double check. Go ahead.
Let's start here. Question number one. Which rookie quarterback is going to start first, Jared Goff, Carson Wentz, or Paxton Lynch?
Paxton Lynch.
And why is that?
Jared Goff might be my other answer. I think no doubt Case Keenum is going to be the starting quarterback for the Rams out of the gate. They have two difficult division games right out of the gate, so you're not going to see Goff, I don't think, in September. Paxton Lynch, as of our taping, Nate, still has a shot, if he performs well in week 3 of the preseason, to get the starting job, as absurd as that sounded a couple of weeks ago. And I think Paxton Lynch very well could be the 2 behind Trevor Siemian. And Trevor Siemian, somewhat unproven. That would put Paxton Lynch in a great position.
All right. Question number 2. Do you think Ezekiel Elliott is going to break Tony Dorsett's 1977 rookie rushing record for the Cowboys of 1,007 yards?
Yes.
In what week?
Well, you need to average 66 yards, roughly, I believe, or 65 or something like that, a week to get to 1,000. So do the math. I say he looks like a 1,200-yard back.
Yeah, I think so, too. I'm with you on that one. All right, question number three. Do you think that Tom Brady's suspension is going to mean the end of the Patriots' run at the top of the AFC East?
Absolutely not. Call me except in December when they win the division.
All right, question number four. Will this intriguing Jacksonville Jaguars team, led by a defense they've been rebuilding, do you think they make the playoffs?
Ooh. I'm going to say no, but I'm going to say they make a run for it and look like a 9-7 team. I'm still not entirely sold, but I'm excited. When the schedule came out in April, I said Green Bay on the road week one at Jacksonville was your sneaky good game of September.
As you look at Cleveland, are we seeing the resurrection of Robert Griffin III?
Yes. The question is, how long will the life be once resurrected? He certainly looks good in the preseason. It is still the preseason. Pump your brakes, Dak Prescott fans. RG3 has proven he could play and win in this league. Can he do it as a drop-back passer? Can Hugh Jackson truly, truly give him sustained success? I don't know. I mean, the right side of it off, well, right tackle is an issue. They have some weapons offensively, but blocking and tackling still will be an issue, which doesn't always bode well for the quarterback. Don't be shocked if they are in the number one overall discussion next year. Maybe not at number one, but at least trying to trade up to get a certain quarterback from the ACC, who for the time being shall remain nameless because he's an underclass.
Let me do a follow-up to question number five. Do you think RG3 ever makes it back to the Pro Bowl?
Well, Teddy Bridgewater made the Pro Bowl last year, and I like Teddy, but he only had like 14 touchdown passes. The way people drop out of the Pro Bowl, I'll never say never for anybody making the Pro Bowl.
All right, last question from our six-pack in overtime with NFL Network's Andrew Siciliano. Do you believe by this time next year we will be referring to the Las Vegas Raiders?
I would say, because it's Vegas and we're playing the odds, that it is slightly better than 50-50 that we will. However, never underestimate the likelihood of an iconic franchise staying home with a last-second deal.
I have said that I'd never want to see a city lose their team, but given that I'm in Denver with the AFC West, it could be kind of fun with the Raiders in Vegas. I'm just going to throw that out there.
Nate, a man of your fame and your needs, you know, I can't imagine that you need a Raiders game to hop on a $79 one-way flight to Vegas.
As long as you're going to meet me there. It's Andrew Siciliano from the NFL Network, part of Overtime with our six-pack of questions for this week. Andrew, thanks.
Yes, sir.
And there you have it. That's how the Overtime works, a six-pack of questions for a different analyst each week. And it also wraps up our podcast for this week. Thanks for being a part of it. We'll talk to you soon.
This has been a Sports Joe production. For more team-specific podcasts, visit sportsjoe.com.
COTA has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including the Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal, Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.
Cleveland is where the urban meets the outdoors, where cultural celebrations meet rabid sports fans meet the symphony, where nobody goes hungry and everybody loves music. Fueled by passion, we are the land for life. From rich history to hidden gems, the Legends of the Land podcast shares the real stories from real Clevelanders that shape the city. From iconic chefs to grassroots changemakers, sports heroes to creative visionaries, learn why living all out is in Cleveland's DNA. Go to thisisCLE.com/podcast.